Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Allison Novak, and I'm here with Dr. Suzanne Fitzgerald. She is an APR, a fellow of PRSA, and the co-author of a recent book on digital ethics. She's written several textbooks all about the modern public relations industry. And today we have a very exciting opportunity to talk with her about some of the recent developments that she really focuses on in this book. So welcome, Dr. Fitzgerald. And we just want to start by hearing about why you wanted to create a book on this very important topic.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me. So this book really is about law and ethics because it affects our profession so much. First of all, we need to know the legal consequences of what we do. And secondly, we want to know the ethical consequences of what we do so that we can be professionals in the real sense of the term, a profession in the field. So because of the onset of digital media and new media, or whatever we want to call it, there's so much more of a 24/7 problem, as you know, or 24/7 issues, which creates a lot of problems that we didn't used to have. If there was a crisis, people wouldn't hear about it until it was in the newspaper. Now, if there's a crisis, everyone reports a crisis before the company even responds to the crisis. So we wanted to make this available to students so that they would be aware going into their profession of what they are required to know. Mm-hmm. And if I could give you a very quick example, years ago, Volvo did an ad where they steel reinforced a Volvo and then they drove a monster truck over it. And they actually put these ads out without letting anybody know that this wasn't just your average Volvo. This was a steel reinforced Volvo. And they got in so much trouble for reparations. And not only did Volvo get in trouble and have to reprint everything with the, you know, the line that they were misleading, but the agency that was involved also was fined and got in a lot of trouble and lost a lot of reputation. So we don't want any of our students to lose reputation.
Absolutely. I mean, that's so important when you look at the role that especially digital media can play in circulating information about an organization, because it's not just the people who saw that magazine ad. It's the people who shared it on social media. It's the people who saw it and like thought it was funny and sent it to their friends over social media. So it's all, it becomes much bigger very, very quickly. And that really contributes to that 24/7 environment. I think one of the things that's really interesting is that most PR people now have like on-call phones, right? You have the person in the office who's on call. There's always somebody who's responsible at 3 a.m. And it's kind of an interesting part of our career. We think like that's a medical thing, but yeah. In media relations, like you have to have somebody who's willing to pick up the phone at a certain hour. And that's usually like the newest person who's been hired.
Well, it's really important though, that they get a real live person because yeah. I just spent like an hour waiting on hold for a state agency. And it gives you the feeling of lack of credibility, mm-hmm. lack of urgency, lack of transparency.
Yeah.
It may not be true, but that's the feeling you get when you're, you know, when you're addressed in that way.
Your needs don't feel are addressed like the priority of it. Yeah. One of the other things that in your book you mentioned is our job is to be a counselor to leadership, especially senior leadership, that we want to have a voice at the table. Why is that so important, especially when it comes to ethics?
Okay. Well, of course, we're supposed to be able to predict trends. Mm-hmm. And if we're sitting at the management table, we should have a lot of research at our disposal. We should know what's going to be happening, what we predict is going to happen based on what happened in the past, and looking at other situations similar to ours, what's going on. So secondary research is really important. And you have to be the person at the table with that kind of data, or you're not going to be able to advise management. Mm-hmm. So we think of ourselves, as I mentioned earlier, as a profession like law or like an ethician, which I can never say, like an ethicist or like a doctor or like a professional psychologist. So we tend to think of ourselves as in a profession. So if we were going to have that kind of professional role, we can't be just the person that writes a newsletter. We have to have much more at our disposal by the way of planning, research, and information. And, you know, someone just asked me, what's the most important thing in a PR career? And I said, one of the things is current events, knowledge of current events and being savvy to what's going on in the world so that you can ethically and morally and legally make awesome decisions that that keep your company and your target audience or your publics all in a good place. Mm-hmm. You know what? You want to be responsive to them as well. You don't want to just be backing yourself.
Yeah. I think one of the examples of this are organizations that are trying to figure out and navigate new technologies like AI, right? If you're trying to figure out how to use AI ethically and artificial intelligence ethically, it helps to look at other current events, other companies. Yeah. How are they doing it? What are they doing? Because that can oftentimes prevent a problem if you learn from their mistakes and do something better on your own.
Yeah, what a great example. And it's really affecting our own industry because, as you know, you can say to the computer through AI, you can say, write me a legal brief on cyberbullying. And guess what? There it comes. And if you say, change the words around, there it comes. So this is going to be really challenging in the education field, but also as an ethical conundrum, you know, how do we handle something like this? Yeah. Now in the book, we do, there is a whole chapter on cyberbullying. And, you know, what has happened now is that, you know, the bully in the schoolyard has now become the bully at work and the impact on other people and the impact on society. And so that's something we address. And at the end of each chapter, there's a very current example, and I'm sure we'll update those as the years go on, but a very current example of something going on right now that's of concern legally or morally. So each, you know, we try to go back and forth. Some cases are legal, some are ethical, but we try to give you a lot of examples. Or what do you face as a practitioner? What are you going to face in the job force as to moral and ethical dilemmas? So that's what we try to do to make it very relevant to today's practitioner.
And I think something that points to is that sometimes you don't know what the ethical steps would be, right? I mean, these technologies are so new. I mean, you just might not know, what do I do with AI? Do I embrace it? Do I reject it? Do I find that, you know, gray area in between? And one of the things PRSA suggests is that you collaborate with other professionals, that when you're in that position and you just don't have a model, is to talk to your community and find out what they recommend. Is that something that you think really assists our students as well?
I think that's a great idea. The interesting thing is the authors of the book. So Carl Hausman happens to be a journalism professor, but also a media expert. He's been on, on CNN and the news many times commenting. He's up here before the Supreme Court talking about media ethics. So having him, you know, having that voice is one voice in our book. And then Dr. Basso, the other person, they're much more qualified than I am, is a lawyer. So he's not only a communication professor with a PhD, but he has a law degree as well and practices law in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. So we have these, and I'm kind of the one that puts it all together and came up with all the cases. But the idea that we have, you know, former PR practitioner, we've got a media analyst and a lawyer working on this. We're trying to look at it from the different directions and kind of get advice from each other as to how to address this new landscape that we're facing.
That's great. That is that community. I mean, that's exactly
that's what I'm saying. Encourages. It's our mini community.
Mini community of it. Absolutely. Do you see any digital trends or digital technologies in particular that are going to be really problematic or questionable, or you think PR is just really going to struggle with? I think AI seems to be the one that I hear the most commonly.
Yeah, that's the only one that I know of that's really problematic. I would say, you know, this whole concept of intellectual property, even though that's not a technology per se, but intellectual property is, something we concern ourselves with on all these digital media. Yeah. There aren't great guidelines and there aren't laws. And that's something else we point out many times when we're addressing, what do you do about this? What do you do about these First Amendment issues? What do you do about privacy? What do you do about intellectual property? So it's sort of a how-to book, if you will. It's a very handbooky type book, not very long. We're trying to be concise and we're trying to give you the answers for what do you do if somebody steals your intellectual property and is blasting it on Instagram What do you do if, so I would say AI is really a current issue that I'm not sure how we're going to handle, but I would say intellectual property in general on the internet is pretty unregulated. Mm-hmm. And that is a little bit of a problem area. I also wanted to refer back to something you said. You know, it's an old fashioned technique, but we have something called the Potter model. And the Potter model is an ethical decision-making model. And we actually use the Potter model in the book. Mm-hmm. We tell you, here's an example of how to use the Potter model, and then give you an opportunity to use it a few times. So it just enables you to make an ethical decision. You ask an ethical question and you go through these four stages to try to figure out, well, is it ethical or isn't it ethical? Mm-hmm. So I find that to be a very practical mm-hmm. way when you're stuck in a situation and you're not really sure, what do we do? Right. Do we use advertising? Do we use public relations? Is this a bad thing to do on social media? Mm-hmm. How do we address this issue? Sometimes I use that Potter model to help make a decision, and that's also included in the book.
That's great. And that's very helpful because it means that you don't have to like mentally power through these situations. You know, it's not like you have to just sit there and the answer will magically come to you. It says there's a methodology that you can use that'll exactly. give you the correct answer, or at least tell you what would be the most appropriate thing to do, even if you decide not to do it.
Yeah, a formula or a model. And yeah, you can either back up your decision by saying, I've done this, here's mm-hmm. an ethical decision-making model, and I think we should go do it anyway. Or mm-hmm. here's an ethical decision-making model, and I think we're going to err on the side of a problem.
Yeah.
We may get in trouble with our lawyers, or, you know, it's very interesting, but you wouldn't think that PR and the law work that closely together, but they do, because mm-hmm. many times the PR person wants to say things a certain way or wants to give a very honest answer, and the lawyers are preventing us sure. from doing that, from lacking, you know, they're making us lack a little transparency. So we have to have the seat at the management table in order to say, hey, in this case, our reputation is more important than mm-hmm. your 55-page brief on this. I mean, we've got to come out and be transparent and do it quickly mm-hmm. in order to maintain our reputation. Yeah. And I know this is another old fashioned thing, but we go with Patrick Jackson's double bottom line theory, mm-hmm. which is the idea that if you don't maintain your reputation, that your profits are going to be difficult. So yeah. the bottom line is always seen as profits, but the double bottom line is reputation. Definitely. Maintain your reputation, restore your reputation, create a good reputation so that your profits can be successful. And I can't imagine an organization that's not interested in that.
Right. Yeah. I think one of the things you referenced is like working with your legal team, and something we talk a lot about in the Page Center module is the value of cyber ethics statements. And some organizations let the lawyers write them, and they're completely difficult to discern. They have clauses and there's a lot of technical language and jargon that, you know, above the average user's head. And so people just accept and they move on. And we sort of make an argument that public relations should really have a voice in the creation of those, because that's who can communicate clearly with the public. Yes, you have to work with the legal team because you need to know what the legal requirements are, but you still have to be able to communicate it effectively and in a way that people might actually engage with it. And that's what PR can contribute to if they do it well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, legalese is so difficult to read. And one of the things we do in PR is we try to take very technical, very dense information and boil it down to something yeah. a layperson can understand.
Yeah.
And again, if we don't have that seat at the management table, we're not going to have the voice to say, hey, mm-hmm. we need to have a voice. We need to have a say in this before it goes out.
Well, thank you so much for meeting with us today and sharing a little bit about your book. We really appreciate hearing about it. And I'm sure we will provide additional information for our students who are interested in reading more or reading the book itself. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Pleasure to be here.